Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray to the Father, to the dearest Father. He has taught us also what to ask for. Now we are meditating on the fifth petition, that of forgiveness. In the last session, we meditated on the one first aspect of sin and forgiveness. Jesus taught us to pray for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, and sins considered as debts, as sins of omission. The sins that has crept into our relationship with God, with our neighbors, with the nature and with ourselves, where we did not satisfy, we did not fulfill our obligations, the commands that were given to us, that we became ungrateful, that we did not positively respond to God and to neighbor. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6, we read like this. A son honors his father, and servants their master. If then I am a father, where is the honor due me? And if I am a master, where is the respect due me? We call God our Father, and then we go on doing our own will. We were asked to pray, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in the second part, we are aware, we are made aware of the tragedy of sin, that we do not often follow his will. Now, in this last session, we were speaking about the sins of omission. But there is much more in our life. It's not only omitting our duties. Positively, we work against God's plan and God's commandments. We know the Ten Commandments, most of them are formulated in a negative way, with a positive content, of course. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not tell lies. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. All these are prohibitions forbidding us to do something against our neighbor. All these commandments are intended to protect life, to protect the atmosphere, the situation, relationship in which a human being can grow up as a human being in relation to others, in friendship, in love. Now, the other aspect of sin is a positive committing something against this commandment, against your neighbor, against God. It's not only omitting your duties, but doing something which you are explicitly asked not to do. And this has been the message of the prophets. People have been given the commandments. God had manifested his will for the people of Israel as well as for the entire humanity. Maybe other nations were not aware of the Decalogue or such laws. But as far as the people of Israel is concerned, they were taught it through Moses and all the prophets. And when they went against it, they were corrected. And here, we'll go through some of the prophetic teaching about this sin. The sin of commission. I start with the prophet Hosea, chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel, for the Lord has an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Swearing, lying, and murder, and stealing and adultery break out. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. So here the prophet is accusing the people that the commandments of God are being systematically violated by the people. And here, the prophet sees this violation as an offense against God. He says there is no fidelity, no faithfulness in the land. Nobody can trust the other. One who is not faithful to the covenant, one who is not faithful to God, will not be faithful to his neighbor either. So there is cheating among the people. The ones who cheated God, the one who disobeys God's commandment, cheat his neighbor as well. There is no faithfulness or loyalty and no knowledge of God in the land. The prophet is speaking to a religious people, the people in Samaria, who were celebrating feasts of Yahweh. They were offering sacrifices. But at the same time, the prophet says, you do not know God. People did not know God, even though they were calling upon the name of God, even though they were celebrating God's feast. But there was no real, proper knowledge of God. How does the prophet come to this conclusion? He concludes to this reality, this truth, from observing the life of the people. And what does he see when he looks around? Swearing, lying, murder. And it's all the breaking of the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not tell a lie. You shall not swear. You shall not commit adultery. So all these laws are being broken, and then they speak still in the name of God. So sin has crept into the people by the breaking of the law. So this is positive picture of sin. What sin is? Adultery, stealing, bloodshed follows bloodshed. Prophet Hosea came to the northern kingdom of Israel in the second half of the 8th century BC. But the picture he depicts of that people is not much different from what we see today. When we watch the newspaper, when we watch the TV, we see the scenes of violence, bloodshed, terrorism, all repeating the same way. And here we see that all are involved. The entire humanity is involved in this sin. Sin as an offense against the neighbor. Sin is not only an offense against the neighbor. By offending the neighbor, one is offending God. That's what Nathan, the prophet, told David, the king. We know the story of David and his sin. A sin against Bathsheba and then murder of her husband Uriah. When Nathan came to David and accused him of the sin of adultery and murder, he comes to this conclusion. Chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 9. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have despised the word of the Lord. You have despised the Lord by doing evil. By doing evil to the neighbor, he has been despising God. So the sin committed against the neighbor is a sin committed against God. You cannot offend God directly. God is transcendent, omnipotent. But you can offend God by offending his children. And this is how Isaiah reacts to the general picture of sin in the nation. Isaiah chapter 1, the very beginning of the prophecy, chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth. This is what you call the Reeb oracle. An accusation, a trial. The prophet is putting, or God is putting the people of Israel on trial. God is the advocate, he is the attorney, he is the accuser, he is the judge. And he is also calling witnesses. God putting the people on trial, calling heaven and earth as witnesses. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. The prophet is telling, as the word of God, that the people of Israel do not have the sense of even domestic animals. The ox and the donkey know to whom they belong. But the people of Israel, who have been chosen by God, specially elected, liberated from slavery, led through the desert and through the Red Sea, with whom God has made the covenant, made them his own people. Now they do not know to whom they belong. They do not know God. So this is sin, not knowing God, not acknowledging God. And then the prophet continues. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged. Step by step, the prophet is building up the case. First he says, the people do not know God, they do not acknowledge. Not only that, they have forsaken the Lord. It is a positive abandoning of God. By the way they behave, through exploitation, through oppression of the weak, through committing adultery and murder, through stealing, people are forsaking God and his ways. When one is forsaking the way of God, when one is forsaking the commandments of God, when he is violating commandments of God, he is forsaking, abandoning God. We have forsaken the Lord, have despised the Holy One. Not only forsaken, not only forgotten, but he is positively despising God. By insulting the neighbor, by oppressing the widows and the orphans, he is despising God, who is the protector of the widows and the orphans. God, who has imprinted his face on the poor and the weak and every human being. When the human being is insulted, when the human being is oppressed and left to starvation, he is insulting him whose image is imprinted on the face of human beings. You have despised, you have insulted the Holy One, and you are utterly estranged. Ultimately, it comes to the point that they don't belong to God anymore. So this is sin at its highest peak. Not remembering God, forgetting God, forsaking God, insulting God, and going away from God. And this the prophet tells in greater detail in verses 21 to 23. How the faithful city has become a war. She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not defend the orphan, and the widow's cause does not come before them. So this is how God sees. This is how God evaluates the life of the people. And this is sin. Bribery. Oppression of the weak. Exploitation of the poor. Injustice. Calumny. All these breaking of the commandments considered as sin. So, forgive us our sins. The people have to become aware of the situation of sinfulness. By offending the neighbor, one is offending God. One is offending himself. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the people by their own sin are offending, ultimately destroying themselves. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Abandoning God and running after other gods which are not gods, which cannot save them. Abandoning the living fountain of living waters, one is building up cisterns for themselves. So sin is abandoning God, accepting something as God which is not God. Now, how does God respond to this? How does God respond to the sins of humanity? Very often it is said God is angry. God is angry with the sinful person, humanity. Of course, he is angry, it would seem. That's how we speak in the human terms. But more than anger, we see a sadness, a sorrow in the heart of God. The prophets, as well as the priests, the fathers, lead us into the heart of God, give us a glimpse into the heart of the wounded heart of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, we see an evaluation of God at the end of the story of sin. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made the humankind on the earth. In the chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel, he paints a beautiful word picture of God's love and human ingratitude. I'll read a few verses. The word of the Lord came to me, "Mortal, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth were in the land of Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in clothes. Nor I pitied you to do you of these things for you out of compassion for you. But you were thrown out in the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born." As an abandoned child, prophet sees the people of Israel. And then he goes on to say how God had compassion on this crying, abandoned child, how he took her, how he cared for her, how she was washed clean, and how she was made to grow. And when she grew up, then he tells us how unfaithful this people has become. This is the story of every human being. The crime, the sin against God, against the neighbor, offends, hurts God. So Jesus is telling us to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Acknowledge the fact that we have committed sin. We have been unfaithful to God. We have offended our neighbor. We have committed a crime against the nature by exploiting it, by destroying the water, the air, polluting the air, somehow exploiting the land and the people and making it a place where nobody can survive. So we are asked to become aware of the sinfulness and ask for forgiveness. As for forgiveness, we'll continue the meditation in the next session. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are aware of our sinfulness. We did not fulfill our duties and obligations. Much more, we have sinned against our neighbors. We have sinned against the nature. And by destroying the neighbor and the nature, we have sinned against you and your will. Father, forgive us. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.